Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Good to see you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
If you're not, you've missed a good opportunity. It's good to see you. Those smiling faces, the spirit of worship. I know God's going to bless us today. Well, that's His promise. Before we begin worship, we'll look at a few announcements. You see listed Mondays 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project, and that is to support our veterans. The 24th Sunday at 6 p.m. today, Christmas Eve service. Bible study Thursday the 28th at 10. January the 7th, men's prayer breakfast at 7:30. And on that evening, the 5th, our quarterly business meeting. Not been made aware of any business for the general board, so we'll defer that to the business meeting on the 7th, if that's okay with everyone. Deacons will meet on January the 11th at 6:30. Are there any other announcements? Church and Ladies Auxiliary and all of you, we thank you for your Christmas gift this year. You sent some mighty nice cards and gifts, not just during Christmas, but throughout the year. And Billy and I really do appreciate your love and kindness that you've shown to us very much. We pray best wishes for all of you this holiday season, and that this experience with celebrating Christ and knowing Him in a real and meaningful way, we pray that your lives be filled with warmth and wonder. We love you all. Let us begin worship.
Let's all turn to 8:13. Stand and sing Glory Be to the Father.
Because too many people are wandering in the wilderness, because too many people are sitting in the valley of the shadow of death, because too many of our conversations are laced with conflict and bitterness, we light candles.
Because people all over the world are suffering and we're often too distracted to notice, we light candles.
One for hope, one for peace, one for joy, and one for love.
May the light from these candles overwhelm the world.
May the light from these candles illuminate the valley of the shadow of death.
And may the fire from these candles burn away whatever would prevent God's love from being born among us.
Friends, be not afraid. Even now, God's love is overwhelming the world on earth as it already is in heaven.
Stand for the responsive reading and invocation, please. Let's read from our bulletin together. Our souls magnify the Lord.
Our spirits rejoice in God our Savior.
The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
Let us worship God.
For God is our Maker and our Redeemer from generation to generation.
God gives mercy.
Bless His holy name.
I praise and worship you, Father God, for all your goodness and mercy. I praise you for who you are, all-powerful creator, sustainer, who gives us provision and a life of abundance. Today we come and worship you. We thank you for Jesus, the most important gift anyone could have. And we just pray today, Lord, that we will know you and feel your presence in ways we never dreamed possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You'll remain standing. Turn in your hymnal to 268. There's another responsive reading, followed by 269, verses 1 through 4 of How Great Our Joy. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." As our scripture readings this morning. The Old Testament reading is from Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 89, verses 19 through 26. "Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said, 'I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have raised up a young man from among the people. I have found David, my servant, with my sacred oil,
I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not get the better of him. The wicked will not oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." And the New Testament reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, "May your word be to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray this morning? Are there any needs we need to remember?
Jeffrey Kennedy,
okay.
George Warren family.
Any others? We need to thank God. Greg's coming home today. Isn't that something? I mean, God is really doing something in our midst. There's nothing more important that a church can do than to pray. It's the most important thing. So God answers prayers when His people calls out. We just want to make a, you know, God's showing out on us, isn't He? And we certainly want to recognize that and thank Him. So let's take this time to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for unspoken needs. Just pray for God's presence to continue among us as we worship Him. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, God, for answering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Your presence in our lives, in our homes, our church, community. Thank you for giving us a life of abundance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. For praying for these needs this morning, throughout the week. Thank you for Christmas, Lord. Thank you for worship. Inhabit our praises this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn our hymnals to 245, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we stand before you humble and thankful, Lord. We thank you for the doors being opened today and for the people allowed to come in. Lord, this week I was presented with a word. That word was believe, Lord. I believe on this eve of gift giving and receiving, Lord, that you've given us the best gift that could ever be received, or the best gift could ever be given, Lord. We can never repay you. I believe through you, Lord, that all things are possible. And as we return a portion of those gifts you've given us, Lord, we give you thanks for accepting them. Accepting them into your kingdom, Lord, from us to do with your will. For this I ask in your most heavenly precious name. Amen.
You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Seated. Our scripture text today comes from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read a portion of that. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me, and he has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display for his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Have you ever made a wish, anybody? How about a Christmas wish? Anybody ever made out a Santa Claus wish list? Anybody? Christmas is about, I guess, having our greatest wishes fulfilled. Today I wish you Jesus. Because in Jesus you have everything. There's truth in these words. In Jesus we have everything. We don't have that in religion. We don't have that in the struggle to find a good life. But we have everything that we need in Jesus. He is where our deepest needs are met, where our greatest dreams come true, because in Jesus we connect in a personal relationship with the all-power creative God of the universe. Have you ever noticed how the superheroes of films and fictions always wear masks? Like Spider-Man, Batman, and the Green Hornet, and Zorro, and of course the original Masked Man, the Lone Ranger. And the world benefits from their kindness and their goodness. They save the world from bad guys like the Joker and the Penguin. But no one really knows who they are. I mean, they may be heroes, but our knowledge of them, unless we really live in their world with them, our knowledge of them is limited. They can't be known personally. There's a sense in which this could have been said about God. In the Old Testament, we learned about him, and we saw how God worked through his people and how his people benefited from his kindness and his mercy, but we really couldn't know him personally or intimately. It's kind of like he was behind a mask. But on Christmas Day, that mask was removed. He revealed himself to us fully and completely so that we can know him as he really is. This is why when Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father, Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Now, God's plan is not to be our superhero. He wants to be more than the one we call on in times of distress. He wants to be our constant companion. He wants to be our Father, our friend, our guide. He wants us to know him personally and intimately. And this is made possible through Jesus Christ, who came to us on Christmas Day 2,000 years ago. And this is why we celebrate his birth. He came to bring us everything. Everything that we need and to fulfill our greatest wish. We see this in Isaiah 61. This is a special text because in this passage of Scripture, Jesus referenced this one in one of his first public sermons. You can read about it in Luke 4. He read from Isaiah chapter 61, and then he sat down and began to teach. He said, in effect, This passage I've just read is about me. I am the fulfillment of these words. I am the one that God has sent to show you who he's really like. So let's look at Isaiah 61 this morning briefly. There's a lot there. But we want to look through it briefly and see three things in Isaiah 61 about all that is yours in a relationship with Jesus Christ. First of all, the first thing we see in this passage is that Jesus says he's the fulfillment and he has come to bring help to the troubled. Anybody here ever been troubled before? Okay. You know, the more I know people and the more I experience life, the more I learn that no one really has it all together. You know, to some extent, at some time, everyone has trouble in their lives. And look, if you've never had and you're not in trouble now, you will. I mean, that's just life. You know, everyone deals with hurts and problems and regrets and fears and disappointments. Everyone struggles with sin. You know, no one really has it all together on their own. Now, I do know, and I have met people who live powerful, victorious lives. It's not because they're great or smart or religious or rich or famous. It's because they have a life-changing connection to Jesus. It's because they cling to him like they would cling to a raft in a raging sea. And I believe this to be true. Everyone I know who is living a victorious life is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is everything that we need. Now today I may be speaking to some troubled hearts. That you may be here today struggling with something. Well, maybe with something in the past or some inadequacy in your life or some type of a sinful habit. I don't know. But I want you to know two things. First of all, you're not in this alone. Amen?
Amen.
And you can tell your neighbor with confidence, you're not in this alone. We're all in the same boat. And number two is, you can tell your neighbor, and you can be assured of this, Jesus came specifically to heal your hurts and to give you victory over a troubled life. Listen to what he said. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord. Now everyone falls into one, if not two, of these categories. And the first we see is that Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. I've known people who are genuinely poor. I mean poor to the point they don't know where the next meal is going to come from, or where the light bill is going to come from, or where the job is going to come from. They live in poverty beyond our ability to even imagine such a thing. For them, the gospel is good news. It strengthens them. It gives them hope. And consistently, God provides for the desperately poor as they put their hope in him. And I've known people whose lives are in a financial mess. They're poor too. They live with the same kind of fear, the same kind of desperation as the generally poor do. They may have six figures coming in, but they got six figures and 20% going out. And they don't know what to do or where it's going to come from. They don't know how to stop the cycle. It's a dreadful place to be. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus came to help you in the midst of your situation. In the midst of your struggle, whether it's a poor financial situation or whether it's a big numbered financial situation, whatever the cause or the nature of your poverty, he cares. If you connect with him, if you cling to him, he will help you reevaluate and reorganize your priorities, and he will provide in ways you never dreamed imaginable. I want you to know that Jesus is aware of whatever struggle you face. That's why he came. He came to help you find wholeness in this part of your lives. Jesus came, it says, to help the troubled. And he came to bind up the brokenhearted. Anybody ever had a broken heart? We all have broken hearts. There's not a person here today who hasn't been affected by the seemingly unconquerable pain of a failed relationship. If not your own, then the failed relationship, maybe of a parent or a spouse or a child or a close friend. You know what it's like to be brokenhearted. And Jesus tells us, when he read from Isaiah, and in his first sermon, he tells us he came to bind up that wound. How does he do it? His presence in your life is enough. If you'll give him more than just a nod, or more than just a wave, or more than just an hour, if you will cling to him, he will heal your broken heart. That's why he came. He also claimed to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to the prisoners he came to proclaim release from darkness. Is there something in your life that is holding you captive? Or you're prisoner to some addiction or guilt or fear or pride or self? Jesus came to set you free from the power of the past and from the fear of the future. How does he do it? His presence. His presence in your life is enough when you cling to him. Amen. Jesus came to help the troubled. And that's us. And that's why I wish you Jesus. There's a second thing we can see here. Jesus came to replace the ugliness in your life. Anybody got any ugliness in there? Three people. Okay. I like Christmas cards, and I like to get them. And you know, Billy and I got some great expressions of love for you guys in the form of Christmas cards, and what they contain there. You can get a warm feeling if you really look at the card. I know some of you put some extra special time into them. Some of you may not. That's fine. But, you know, you can get a warm feeling when you look at them. You know, you've seen them before, that picture of a snow-covered landscape with a cozy cottage nestled in the woods. You look in the window and you see that decorated tree and you see the smoke rising from the chimney. Tells you there's a fire inside, right? There's warmth. You can almost smell the gingerbread and the pumpkin pies. You look on the table and you see it sitting there. When I see a picture like this, I think, man, what a beautiful world we live in. You ever thought that? Yeah. Or how about the Christmas carolers, the one with the Christmas carolers on there? They're standing out beneath the falling snow on the front steps of someone's house under the light of the moon. Their faces just glowing like angels. I mean, you can almost hear them singing Silent Night, Holy Night. I see this picture and I think, man, what a beautiful world we live in. But the problem is that we don't live in that world, do we? I mean, that's really not the real world. The truth is, if we could create a world as peaceful and as serene as the world we can create on a canvas or a card, we wouldn't really need Jesus, would we? Would we? No. But the truth is, we can't. And we really need Jesus. And if we could create this beautiful world, Jesus wouldn't need to come and die to save us. The world we've created, the one that really exists below the surface, is full of ugliness and pain. It's full of heartache and disappointments. It's full of regrets and failures. It's a world we cannot escape on our own. And that's why we look to Jesus, because Jesus came to change it. Jesus came to turn the something ugly into the something beautiful. In verse 2, he said, comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Man, I like to read those words. Maybe right now all you can see is ashes, but I want you to know there's a crown of beauty waiting for you. That's Jesus' word. Right now you may feel nothing but a sense of mourning, a sense of loss, but I want you to know that the oil of gladness is waiting to be poured out all over you. Hallelujah. Right now you may be overcome with a spirit of despair, but I want you to know that God is waiting to clothe you with a garment of praise. In fact, why wait? You can put that garment on right now, the garment of praise. You can begin to praise him, and I promise you that the spirit of despair will lift. Now, you might say, preacher, but you just don't know. You just don't know what's going on. I don't really feel like praising God in my heart. Well, praise isn't about our feelings. You don't praise God by telling him how you feel. You praise God by telling him how good he is. The focal point is not me. The focal point is God. Praise him and your feelings will eventually change. You might say, well, I'm struggling with some things. I don't have victory over these things yet, and I'm just struggling. I've got problems that can't be solved yet. That's why the garment of praise is so important. That's why it's so important to put it on now, because when you put on that garment of praise, sin will lose its power. That's God's promise. Put on that garment of praise now, and your perception of your problems will get a lot smaller as your perception of God gets much bigger. Amen? This is one thing that we can do to change the way we feel and to change what's going on in our life, to put on that garment of praise, sing to him, and repeat the Psalms to him, write songs about him, and tell him how good he's been. Over and over and over. By doing this, you're clinging to Christ in the midst of a storm. And when you cling to him, he does great things in your life. He makes that is ugly beautiful again. He gives you the strength to start over. He gives you the ability to get back what you've lost. Listen to his words in verse 4. They, and that could be his people, which is us, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Notice what it says there. He will rebuild, he will restore, he will renew, and he will do this through you. Now, you will not do this, but God can and God will do it, and he will do it through you, his people. Maybe there are things in your life you thought had been destroyed forever. Maybe there are places in your life that have been devastated seemingly forever. No matter how much you've suffered, no matter how much disappointment you have experienced or how much disappointment that you have created, no matter how much guilt you have piled up, I want you to know today that Jesus is ready to help you rebuild, restore, and renew what you've lost. Jesus wants to replace what is ugly in your life with something that is beautiful. In verse 7, he says, instead of shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And they will inherit a double portion in the land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Can you imagine that? Replacing the shame, the disappointment, the disgrace with a double portion of everlasting joy. I don't know about you, but man, I could use a double portion. Amen? I just want you to know that he does this for us. How does he do it? It's through his presence. The presence of God in our life is enough. When we cling to him with all that we have, Jesus came to take away what is ugly and replace it with something beautiful. The third thing we see here is Jesus came to make it last. You ever tried to turn over a new leaf before anybody? You ever made a New Year resolution? How long did it last? How long? Yeah. You know, we got good intentions, don't we? You know, we'll have that moment, that emotional moment, like the rich young ruler when he said, run to Jesus. And Jesus wants to have eternal life. Jesus said, you know, to come at you, yeah, I kept a ball. And Jesus said, well, just take what you got and give it to the poor and come follow me. And that moment was gone then. He walked off. The storybook world we try to create for ourselves can never last. Pretty soon the colors fade, the pages turn yellow, the binding cracks, and our storybook is shown to be not what it appeared to be. Beloved, Jesus wants to do more than merely paint the surface of our lives. He wants to change it from the inside out. He wants to give us a good life based on a solid foundation that lasts from this day until the last day. Listen to what he promises. In my faithfulness, I will reward them. Verse 8, and make an everlasting covenant with them. He'll reward them for what? Clinging. You ever know anybody that was clingy? Huh? Anybody?
Yes.
We need to be clingy when it comes to Jesus. Because he's going to reward us for being clingy, for being his faithful, devoted followers. When you cling to him, that's when he begins to fill your life with wonder. In fact, what he's saying here, we'll be together forever. I will be your God, and you will be my people, and nothing can stand in the way of that. Jeremiah, Hebrews 31, says it this way. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness, and I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. Anybody need to be rebuilt this morning? We're at the right place. Because Jesus came in this world to change your life and make it last forever. Because when he comes into your life, he's there to stay. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And there is nothing in this world that can get between you and God's love. He'll pursue you. He'll stick with you. He'll be closer than a friend or a brother. And Paul said it this way. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. God's covenant with you is permanent. And he goes on to say that after these great things are accomplished in your life, verse 9 it says, all who see them will acknowledge that they, and that could be said you, are a people that the Lord has blessed. Look at them. Man, God's blessed them. God wants to reveal his glory to all the earth, and that means he wants to reveal his glory through your life. He wants the people you work with to marvel at how your life has become something new and something wonderful. He wants your family to be amazed at the changes that God is just taking place in your life. He wants people to realize that this wasn't done by your determination or a book about something, the bestseller about making yourself better. But it was done by God. It's God doing God-sized things in and through his people, in and through your life, that no one would ever even dream would be possible. God wants everyone to know. They want you to know that your life has become what it has become because of his mercy and his goodness and his grace and his power. and his glory. How will God accomplish this? Just his presence in your life is enough. I'm not talking about the presence of a casual acquaintance. I'm not talking about the presence of your dearest and closest friend. I'm talking about clinging to Jesus with all you've got so that he can give you all he's got to give. And that's a lot. And in conclusion, I would say this. I could wish you joy and peace this Christmas to last your whole life long. I could wish you happiness and success and prosperity. But on their own, those things aren't really built to stay. It's much better that I wish you Jesus. Because when I wish you Jesus, I wish you a life beyond your greatest imagination. When I wish you Jesus, I wish you everything. So this Christmas, I pray you connect with Christ. More than just connect, I hope you cling to Christ. Talk to him every day, throughout the day. Put on a garment of praise. Sing to him. Tell of his marvelous works. Testify of his goodness in your life as you experience his greatness. Ask him to fill your life with his mighty presence. Ask him to show himself off through you, his creation. Because his presence in your life is enough to meet your every need. Since his presence is enough, church, this Christmas, I wish you Jesus. Father, we thank you for Jesus and the provision, the promise that is set before us as he came to earth on that Christmas morn. And we rejoice in the fact that your presence in our lives is enough to meet every need that we have and to meet the need of this world. Help us be clingy every day. And we praise and honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand and sing all three verses of 262, Away in a Manger.
Once again, we thank you for being present today. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. New Year's coming on us. And I know you're all excited about that. I am. The Lord's going to bless us. I believe that. And I'll continue to pray for those who ask an interest in our prayers. And the word on Greg was that he would be coming home today. That's what's expected. But he's doing good, but in this condition, he doesn't wish to have visitors right now. So when he's able, strong enough, we'll get the word out. But you can send texts, cards, calls, whatever, that's fine. Okay? Continue to pray. God's doing great things. And we certainly want to thank God for that. Remember this evening at 6 o'clock Christmas Eve service. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Father, we're honored that you have been present with us today, and as Christmas season that we're entering into the celebration of the birth of Christ, we just want to rededicate, renew our faith with you as we pray together and are united one in heart. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. Not the temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.